Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson, Mike Cosentino is sitting across from me there.
Hello, hello. He is here.
And we have with us today a member of the Democratic Perspective, Bill Timmerman. And we're going to be talking about privatization.
One of the guys
prisons.
Behind the scenes, as it were.
Ah, yeah.
One of our props.
What is it? Imminent Gree?
One of our puppet masters.
Yes.
Bill Timmerman is.
Bill Timmerman is done.
We did some work on privatization of prisons. We want to talk about privatization.
You've come in before to talk about privatization.
Yeah,
right,
we did public utilities last time. We did Enron. And good morning, folks. The thing is, this idea, the outsourcing and privatization of services, it used to be considered natural functions of government, has been in progress for almost 20 years now. And in public utilities, the military, primary and secondary education, and now in prisons. And now that it's been going on for 20 years, we're beginning to see some significant data about how well it's working out and what conclusions we can draw.
Privatization appeals to a broad number of people on the right and the left, I think.
It does, and the prison industry is huge. I mean, in Arizona, it's $1.1 billion a year is spent on prison.
Let me get this
just
straight.
This state.
We have an $8.7 million total budget. We try to run the state on we put $1.1 million into prison. I'm just
1.1 billion.
Just trying to
billion, billion guys,
billion.
Well, you know, in some respects, Arizona is a perfect place to study the private prison movement because Arizona's had private prisons since the early 90s. But in 2003. Since then, they've been in the Arizona state government has been in the forefront of the push for prison privatization. And it's become, in consequence of that, a center of controversy about its supposed benefits. And, what we're going to say today, the numbers and statistics you're going to hear today are real. We're not making them up. And there's been some excellent reporting in the state of Arizona on this, particularly by the Arizona Republic. And Bob Ortega, a year ago, a wonderful reporter, did a big series on Arizona prison privatization. And there have been another number of other agencies and reporters who've worked on it, including a group from the American Friends Service Committee. And we're going to use some of their data here today.
So why privatize? Why? Is it cheaper? Is it cheaper?
Well, there's two main reasons that the advocates give for privatization of a state prison system. One is, yes, it is cheaper, they say. And the second is, it's like with the military outsourcing non-combat operations. If you outsource the prisons, that allows the state to focus on things that are more important. Although you have to wonder, I mean, traditionally, the business of the state is to provide law enforcement, prisons, roads, education. So why this isn't a core function of state government, I have no idea.
So you said they say it's cheaper. Is it cheaper?
No, it's not, as it turns
out.
And studies have been done in a number of states, particularly some very detailed studies in Utah and Texas. And there have been studies in Arizona by, as I mentioned, by the American Friends Service Committee and by the Arizona Department of Corrections itself. And the conclusion is, no, it isn't cheaper. Even according to the Department of Corrections' own report for fiscal year 2010, although private prison beds cost 3 cents a day less for minimum security, they cost $4.60 a day more for medium security inmates. And the cost is like $53.02 a day.
The studies showing that private prisons are cheaper are all been financed by the private
prison industry, haven't they?
Yes,
and
you would.
And when you have public academic studies, they've all shown a little bit different results.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Yeah. Well, the Department of Corrections has done two studies, this one in 2010 that I'm mentioning. And the thing you got to remember here, the medium security beds being so much more expensive, is that they make up 43% of the total in private prisons in Arizona. So the cost differential is significant even by their figures. And the American Friends Service Committee did a preliminary report in 2010, and they did a much more complete one in 2012 with later data. And what they point out is the Department of Corrections has underestimated the cost differential because they don't include in it the tax subsidies that the state gives to the corporations managing the prisons or the cost of infrastructure support like water, sewer, and electrical hookups. And access roads, all of which, all of these costs are borne by the state. Now, later, this later report, when you add it all up, and you include the 2,500 additional private prison beds that are currently being planned, the state could has already in the past 2 years spent more than $10 million more for private prison beds than they would have had they kept them under their own administration.
Now let's repeat that, Bill. How much more have they spent?
In the past 2 years, $10 million more for private prisons than is estimated it would cost if the state ran these prisons.
Who got that money?
The corporations that are running the prisons took it as part of it as profit. And what is even more amazing is that they estimate that once this expansion goes through, they'll be paying $6 million a year more in total than they would have had they run those prisons themselves.
So it's not cheaper, yet they're still doing it.
So Arizona taxpayers, and this is just the Arizona portion of incarceration, are paying an extra $6 million a year
in
the indefinite future, right?
They will be once they add these 2,500 additional beds. 2,000 of them are going to be medium security, and 500 of them will be maximum security.
When we talked to Chad Campbell about privatization, he said, you know, that some things should be privatized.
Right.
You know, it makes sense to privatize something.
Yeah,
but it doesn't sound like it makes sense to privatize the prison. You might want to privatize the food service in the prison or the laundry, whatever, but this sounds a little, you know, a little. Why are we doing this, Bill?
Well, what's interesting about these reports, too, is that under Arizona law, the state can't contract out its prison services unless the cost per bed under the contract is less than the cost in state-run prisons. And there are auditing procedures which are supposed to be followed to monitor these costs. So even though the existing contracts appear to be in violation of state law, no move at all has been made to cancel them or to restrict payments to the contracting corporations. And why is that? Well,
yes.
The informed speculation is that Arizona has no place else to put them at this point.
So in other words, Arizona, if you build a private prison, we guarantee that it'll be 97% full. If it's not, we pay you the money as if it was full. So
well,
we're paying for people who maybe not even there.
Yeah, there is a penalty clause, and the contracting corporations are well aware that Arizona has no place else to go. So there seems to be a little nudging and winking going on here, although, you know, no one can prove it, I think.
So, so why? Once again, is it a conservative thing? I mean, is it an anti-government thing?
Well,
you know, government is bad in every respect.
In part, yes. I mean, I think there's three main reasons. The first one is ideology. Conservatives, particularly conservative Republicans, believe that the government is always the problem, right? Not the solution. They believe that private industry is always less wasteful, more efficient, and more competent. No amount of evidence to the contrary seems to have any effect on these beliefs, and you can see it in this case. And there's a second reason, I think, is politics. Here's a quote from a February 2012 report in the Boston Occupier that pretty much says it all. A 2010 study by the Arizona Department of Corrections showed that while private prisons utilize many cost-cutting methods, they actually cost the state more than public prisons. Any money which is saved through cost cutting is ultimately taken as a profit by the corporation which owns the prison. And this is a loss which is not present in publicly owned prisons. Cost-cutting measures that have been utilized to increase private prison profits include cutting wages, reducing employee benefits, not hiring union guards, pushing sick or disabled prisoners back into the public prison system, and reducing rehabilitation services to the prisons. All of this is going on in Arizona, thanks to a Republican majority in the legislature and a Republican governor, and they're happy to spend money on corporate profits, but not on the salaries and benefits of unionized prison guards or on humane conditions for prisoners.
I know we're not prepared to talk about this morning, but headlines in the Republic a couple days ago, five prisoners, you know, whose deaths can be directly...
The Republic has a really good series of investigative reports on Arizona prison. Arizona prisons, private or public, folks, are not very good, and they're not as completely secure.
Is that part of it? Throw away the key syndrome? Didn't I hear you say that before?
Definitely. You see, prisoners don't vote.
In all but 15 or 16 states, they still allow them. Not ours, however.
Yeah. Prisoners are not a political constituency that needs to be catered to.
There are shocking cases in the Arizona reports about what's happened to people. One fellow who died because they told him to take sports drinks.
Yeah.
You know, and died, I believe, of a heart attack or something. It's worth checking out. So, Bill... people in Arizona seem to hate prisoners, and they don't really seem to care what happens to them. So we're going to see a series of reports in some of the magazines and by the American Prison Service Committee that's going to expose all this, and yet, is anything going to happen?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, when you look at the voting patterns, who votes Republican, who votes Democratic, and which party controls the state legislature and the governorship? It becomes pretty clear how the politics of privatization work. Profit-making business people support Republicans. Union prison guards support Democrats. I don't think you can overlook the political effect of this, and not to mention the fact that these private corporations running prisons have plenty of money to spend on both lobbying and campaign contributions.
I had some national...
And that campaign contribution in Arizona is not going to go to the Democrats.
I had some national statistics on lobbying. This is by the largest firm, CCA, right, Bill? They have 60 prisons.
That's the Corrections Corporation of America.
They spent $17.6 million on lobbying. They have 35 lobbyists in Washington, 30 of which are former aides to congressional representatives. They have $3.84 billion in federal contracts. This is not the state of Arizona contract. So it's a huge industry, folks. Don't think of it as a little mom and pop type of deal.
Yeah. Well, let's go right from that into our third reason, which to me looks like plain old-fashioned corruption. Let's look at SB 1070, the anti-immigrant law that's now being challenged in federal courts. It was originally conceived of as a law to create a private prison system for undocumented immigrants. Somebody looked at what looked like the upcoming increased enforcement of immigration laws and said, this looks like a wonderful profit center
right.
for private prisons. So... they held these meetings at the American Legislative Exchange Council, which we've talked about before, and they sat down together to draft model legislation for private prison, the linking private prison and increased immigration enforcement. Now, as it turned out, the model bill, when it was finally drafted, dropped the link and was used mostly to create legislation creating harsher conditions for the enforcement of immigration law, and it almost word for word That model legislation drafted by Alec was used as the text for SB 1070.
Yeah, we had dreams of not dreams. We had visions of prisons all over southern Arizona holding families, undocumented families.
Well, it's more profitable to hold a wife and his three kids, really, right, than to hold a bank robber. It's a lot cheaper to hold a busboy who came here illegally
than
other kind of violent criminal.
Well, we've already got 5,000 undocumented immigrants in Corrections Corporations of America prisons in southern Arizona, but these are not Arizona state prisons. These are prisons under contract to ICE. But anyway, what's interesting here is that during this drafting session at ALEC, guess who was sitting there? Was then Arizona State Senator Russell Pierce.
Never heard of that guy,
yeah.
Did you, Mike?
Yeah. And a lobbyist from the Corrections Corporation of America who advised in the drafting of the legislation. Then they bring it back here, call it SB 1070, get it passed through the Republican-dominated legislature and signed into law by Governor Brewer.
And let me mention here, we're making the Arizona connections, that Paul Sensenmann was the governor's deputy chief of staff at the time, who was a former lobbyist of CCA, and his wife was listed at the time, anyway, as a current lobbyist of CCA.
Well, now, you got to remember, this Corrections Corporation of America is the same company that was caught paying two Pennsylvania judges a bounty for every teenage offender they sentenced to its juvenile facility. Now, these two judges went to jail, but CCA is now bidding on a contract to operate the 2,500-bed expansion for the Arizona private prison system.
Let's be clear. CCA does not run any prisons in Arizona at the present time. Is that correct?
For the Arizona.
They don't run Arizona state prisons. They run prisons in Arizona, housing prisoners from California and prisoners put there by ICE.
But there are private prisons, five private prisons in Arizona.
Now, you've already mentioned Governor Brewer's chief of staff, who was a CCA lobbyist, and his wife. Let me tell you something else. The director of the Arizona Department of Corrections from 1995 to 2002 was Terry Stewart. After he retired, he founded his own lobbying concern called Advanced Correctional Management. And one of his clients is Correction Corporation of America, which is bidding on the Arizona contract. His deputy at Advanced Correctional Management, his lobbying firm, was Charles Ryan, who is now the director of the Arizona Department of Corrections and will be the one who signs off on the bids for the expansion of the private prison system.
Let's go over that again, Bill. How does this work? This is like musical chairs.
Yeah, it's a revolving door. It's the same thing that goes on between
government and business for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the Defense Department and the Senate Committee on, defense finance or whatever. It's the same idea. These guys don't make their money in government. They make their money after they get out of government, lobbying the government that they just left. That's how they make their bones.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah, exactly. And
well,
so
I think it was that one of the great lobbyists who spent a great deal of time in jail said that once we can promise a job to a fellow who's working for a senator or a congressman or a state senator or representative, then we've got them.
Yeah.
He said, we've got them. If they know there's some big money waiting for them when they leave, we got them.
Well, now here's something else, too. You know, we talk about, are these private prisons safe? Well, their safety record is not good. And it's a little worse than the public prisons, as a matter of fact. But here, let's tell you the story of this famous case at the Kingman private prison, which is run by another company. This is Management and Training Corporation. They had a famous escape in 2010. Two guys got out because somebody threw a ladder over the wall to them. And they were eventually caught.
By tech.
Yeah, but in the meantime, one of them killed a couple of people, okay? So the Department of Corrections went in to look at what happened, and they found broken alarm systems, holes in the fence, a control panel that didn't work, and substandard staffing patterns. Now, they had a person on site that was supposed to monitor this, but he hadn't even read the contract, and he didn't actually know what he was supposed to report monitor.
So this is the fellow working for the state who's supposed to ensure that they're keeping their contract.
He got let go, as I understand it. But anyway, so
because he didn't do his job,
Now I told you that the contract says you got to have 97%. The state guarantees 97% occupancy of the prison beds. Well, here's what happened. When they found this out, that conditions were bad, they sent an order to have MTC correct the deficiencies. And these deficiencies didn't get corrected in a timely fashion. So the state of Arizona withdrew prisoners, transferred prisoners out of the facility. And then MTC slapped them with a suit saying that they dropped below 97% occupancy and that they owed them a bunch of money. This was ultimately settled out of court, and I think there were several $100,000 paid to MTC because of the occupancy rate.
So they let the prisoners escape, and then we end up picking up the bill for
it? Well, they were very slow refilling these beds at this facility. One can understand why, I think, because the corrections that they had ordered were so slow in taking place.
And it was built for less violent offenders, and they had put medium security people in there, and it's the medium security people, of course, who broke out.
But medium security in Arizona includes murderers and rapists, and you know it's not like what you think. These are not trustees. So anyway, there's a nice chart on the Arizona Republic site. We'll put up a link to it on our website that shows that the state has paid $3 million to this company for empty beds since this happened.
So the cost per bed is higher, and then we're also paying for empty beds?
So
that's right, because it's in the contract, you see, and they've got a legion of lawyers to enforce these contracts.
Doesn't sound like cost-saving to me. What do you think, Mike?
This privatization, a lot of privatization here in Arizona. We like to do it to schools, we like to do it to prisons, we like to do it to all government services, DES, CPS. It's happening a lot, and I think as far as it's an experiment. I think I'm not sure that the people who are pushing this would call it an experiment. Education, prison, and like I said, Department of Economic Security here.
There's a massive amount of money involved, folks. A massive amount of money. And so once you start down on this road, it builds incredible lobbying organizations to keep you on the road no matter how little
sense
it makes.
The other thing to remember is taxpayers, now you're not paying for services, you're paying for profits. And those profits are not going to be reinvested in the state. And it seems to me, if you want to draw some conclusions from the things that we've been documenting here today, it seems to me that there's more than enough evidence to suggest that privatizing all or part of a state's prison system is a very bad idea. It gives a substandard return on the taxpayer's investment. It invites corruption. And it threatens the health and safety of the state's inmates who may have been convicted of crimes. Yeah, but in a civilized society, they don't deserve to be treated like disposable refuse.
Well, that's it. And that's the other thing that I think behind is the throw away the key syndrome that prisoners, you know, that all of a sudden committing a crime, the guy, one of the men that died, you know, that fraud becomes a death penalty offense. I mean, he died in prison for his crime of fraud.
It was a nonviolent crime.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And those are that's the kind of, you know, once again, a step back. We're sitting here in Sedona, Arizona, and we step back a little bit, and then inhumane treatment of human beings is certainly not the mark of a higher civilization.
And Democrats in Arizona have proposed the privatization of prisons. I think have a good record. Several church groups, the Presbyterian Church and the United Methodist Church, have come out against privatization of prisons altogether because of the abuses. This is more nationwide, Bill, than here in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is going on. Stuff like this is going on all over the country. And there are even, although this part of the scandal doesn't touch Arizona yet, in many states they have found that these private prisons are essentially marketing their inmates to companies to manufacture products at very low wages with obviously no benefits. I mean, it comes pretty close to the old chain gang, you know, where the deputy sheriff someplace in Mississippi locks up all the black people he can find, and then his brother-in-law, the judge, signs a contract with a cousin to put them on a road gang.
The highway improvement project.
Yeah, highway improvement
in Alabama.
Project. That's right. Well, we're coming pretty close to that again, and we thought we had abolished this almost everywhere in the country, and it's now snuck in again through the back door.
Isn't this another union-busting operation? Isn't this kind of another subtext of all of this?
Well, absolutely. You don't want to spend money on people who are providing a service to the citizens of Arizona. You'd rather spend it on a company that's going to make a profit off of what had been a nonprofit operation, and then spend a considerable portion of those profits in campaign contributions to the people who passed the legislation. It seems to me pretty clear that that's what's going on.
I was talking to a guard, and she was union back in New York, and she said it's just like being in prison all day, except you get to go home. It's a horrible job. People should be paid well for it,
yeah.
And it would cut down the importation of contraband into the prison, the drugs that are killing so many people, for example, in Arizona prison. Bill, how would you sum this whole thing up as we
it's a bad idea. That's how I would sum it up. It takes money and as I said, it draws it away from services and puts it in the pockets of people who aren't providing any added value to the citizens of Arizona.
This one company has spent $2 million on campaign contribution at the state level, and $35,000 here in Arizona to Governor Brewer, to Speaker Kirk Adams, House Speaker Andy Tobin, and others.
Oh, and one more thing. Arizona has just signed a contract with a company to provide health care in its private prisons. And guess what? That company has already had its contracts canceled in other states for substandard medical care and overcharging.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Doug, this was
thanks for coming in, Bill. Yeah. We'll have you in again.
Good research.
All this, we'll have information. Bill's an extremely meticulous researcher, so the facts you hear, he'll be linked from our website.
VVID.org.
Okay. Next week, Dr. Thomas Paley will be talking about economic issues again. He holds a BA from Oxford and PhD from Yale. He's worked on economics for democratic and open societies. In other words, a connection between economics and whether a society is democracy, whether it's open. He's a well-known expert on international economics, and we'll be talking to him about the different ways you try to understand what happened with the great collapse here.
Is he in the studio or on the phone?
He'll be on the phone.
Okay.
And then the next week we have my brother Chuck Williamson, who was the investment head of probably the largest independent regional bank in the United States, and he'll be talking about business and regulations. It's not all bad for business. It's a lot good for business. The week after we'll be having the CD6 candidates. Mike Constantino will be hosting a movie
at the Sedona Library on Thursday. We're doing Koch Brothers Exposed.
6 p.m. Mike will be talking about, he's done a lot of research on the Koch brothers and their connection with Alex and whole lots of other things.
I previewed it last night.
And it's a brilliant movie, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
Robert
Greenwald. Sponsored by Door and I think some other clubs too.
See you Thursday.
Okay. Thursday, June 14th, 6 p.m. at the library.
And that's LD6. We're interviewing state candidates, by the way.
Yes.
Okay, not CD.
Yeah.
Very good. Good night.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.
Summertime is here. Before you take your family on vacation, visit Southwestern Eye Center and get that 20/20 vision you've